Hey, everybody. Welcome to Riding with the Queen. I am your host, Rami Mays. And today's show, I decided to feature a band that I've been listening to since my adolescence and never seemed to get sick of hearing. A band that was associated with the 1990s alternative rock boom and draws on elements including punk rock and surf rock. A band that's jarring pop sound influenced bands such as Nirvana, Radiohead, Weezer, and many more. Listeners around the globe, I now present you an hour feature on one of my favorite bands, The Pixies. Formed in the late 80s in Boston, a young guitar player named Joey Santiago and his neighbor, a young musician named Black Francis, originally named Charles Thompson IV, started jamming together once they met as neighbors at University of Massachusetts Amherst. And Francis would soon drop out of school and would write lyrics on the subway train to this warehouse job he had that also Santiago had. They worked there together. And they started a band, and then they began a hunt for a female bass player with the idea of like the Peter, Paul, and Mary and like, say, Husker Du style. They wanted a female bass player. A completely inexperienced Kim Deal was the only one to show up for this audition. She had no bass with her. She had no knowledge on how to play bass, and she was hired. So though they all wanted Kim's sister to be the drummer, Kim's husband suggested Dave Lovering, and they now had a band. When they were choosing the name of the band, they kind of just went like all willy-nilly and just opened a page in the dictionary and chose the word Pixies. They liked the way it looked on paper, and I guess they liked the meaning. The meaning was mischievous little elves. So they rehearsed in Lovering's parents' garage and began to play shows around Boston, and thus we have the beginning of the Pixies. So let's start today's show with... what should we start today's show with? Oh yeah, I wanted to start today's show with a track that I love from the Pixies, from my favorite album of theirs, just to get you in the right mood, and then the band doing a live track from their early years in 88, doing a song that's still a hit today, called Gigantic, here on Riding with the Queen.
Hey! Been trying to meet you. If you
lips, she said.
So that was early Pixies. That was like 1988 when their first concerts, when they started getting out and playing. Kim Deal just sounds awesome. It was only a year later that they were playing a concert when Gary Smith, a producer and manager of Fort Apache Studios, saw the Pixies play. He loved their sound, and he said, I won't sleep. Like, he just wouldn't sleep until they were famous. And I guess that just doesn't happen anymore. Nobody really gets that passionate in the labels that we know around. That we won't sleep until we're famous. In 3 days, though, they recorded a 17-song demo at the studio, which is now known to fans as the Purple Tape due to its cover color. It only cost like $1,000 to make, and Francis's dad paid for it. They took the on local promoter Ken Goes as their manager, and he had handed it over to Ivo Watts Russell on the label 4AD. Now, Ivo Watts almost turned it down, but his girlfriend persuaded him to sign them. So sometimes a Yoko situation kind of helps. 8 of the 17 tracks from the Purple Tape were used to make the 1997 album Come On Pilgrim, which became the first Pixies album release. So let's take a moment now to listen to a couple tracks from Come On Pilgrim. Here's a 1987 Pixies on UMFM with Holiday Song and Isla de Encanta. I knew I was going to say that wrong. Isla de Encanta. 101 UMFM.
Turns out this way.
sufrimiento.
Donde no hay sufrimiento.
Me perderon, pasa por la calle. Me voy. Nuestro propio animal.
Canta a la gente pa' gratis. Hey babe, what are we doing?
Yes, they knew how to say it. I just couldn't. The band's first full-length album followed Come On Pilgrim in 1988 and was recorded in 2 weeks with Steve Albini at the Sessions helm was called Surfer Rosa. And they toured that album and it did really well for them, actually. They received accolades in Europe. And though they were doing really well overseas, it was kind of hard for them, which kind of happened through their whole career, that it was less profound in the USA. They were definitely starting to make their mark, but they always did well overseas and USA always just trailed a little bit behind. After the album was released, the band arrived in England to support Throwing Muses, who they used to actually play with back in the day when they were first discovered. They were doing this tour, Sex and Death tour, in Europe with Throwing Muses. And the tour also took them to the Netherlands, where the Pixies had already received enough media attention to really be the headlining tour there. Actually, there's a quote from Francis that he says, quote, "The first place I made it with the Pixies was in Holland," end of quote. I can sort of understand that, actually, the very first time, well, on a much smaller scale, the very first time I ever went overseas in the Netherlands, there was a huge lineup of people to come in to my show when I showed up for soundcheck, and they had albums in their hands, and I had no idea that that was happening until I got there. So they really love music over in the Netherlands. On a side note, this tour, the Sex and Death tour, that Kim Deal started writing songs and kind of started a side project with Tanya Donnelly from the Throwing Muses. This side project was actually later to become The Breeders. And so that's kind of an interesting twist there. This tour was also the tour that became notable for the band's inside jokes, such as playing their entire set list alphabetically. They would just, I don't know, they just thought it'd be funny to, why not do our tour, our sets alphabetically. So I figure let's do the same here for this next set. Let's play these next four songs in alphabetical order in tribute to that. Here's the Pixies' Bone Machine, followed by a Throwing Muses song called Bright Yellow Gun, which, if you've never heard Throwing Muses, I think you'll really like. And then we'll close the set with Where Is My Mind from the Pixies' Surfer Rosa album here on 101.5 UMFM.
Hey, Bobby, a soda. Hey, Bobby, a soda. Hey, Bobby, a soda. And you try. Yeah.
Ooh, I love that song, Where Is My Mind? Sometimes when I listen to it, I think, where is my mind? It's lost in the song is where it is. Thank you so much for tuning in to Riding with the Queen today. Every week I love bringing you a music history feature on these different iconic bands and musicians that over so many decades have inspired us all. Before we move on in the show, though, since we are 1988 at this moment in the story, I want to play you a great short few minute interview with David Bowie in about 1988 when he was talking about his love for the Pixies and why he likes the Pixies so much. I also wanted to note that I find it extremely charming that David Bowie's calling Black Francis by his birth name of Charles throughout this dialogue. So it's very British. Yeah, let's check that out now on UMFM. You came down to
away, stay all day. The first time I heard the Pixies would have been around 1988. I found it just about the most compelling music outside of Sonic Youth in the entire 80s, I think. In America, they just didn't ignite people the way that they ignited them in Europe. There was such a lot of sludge in America at the time. I think Pixies had a real hard time pushing their way through to the surface. Three elements, I think, made them important as a sound band. One was their pure dynamics, the very obvious now, but not obvious at the time, dynamic of keeping the verse extremely quiet and then getting it erupting into a blaze of noise for the choruses. That was one element. The second element was the interesting juxtapositions that Charles brought together of quite sordid material at times, I suppose. Charles's lyrics actually dealt with commoner garden kinds of subjects, but the way the permutations that he created within the different subjects that he dealt with were so unusual that it caught my ear immediately. It was the sense of imagination, and I use imagination not lightly, not in terms of it being a fantasy, which most people define imagination as, but being able to understand the affinities of something and have those affinities illuminate a subject. It's done so effortlessly, and it's done with such a sense of fun and enthusiasm. There's a great sense of humor underlying everything that Charles does. Three were the colors that Santiago provided as a guitarist. I think as a guitar player, he's terribly underrated. It's much more about texture. He supplies extraordinary texture. One of the strongest songs that I heard at the time was Debaser. Space of Religion, two very basic American subjects. The two subjects closest to the American heart, I think. The pure strength of him on stage, this kind of mass of screaming flesh, this kind of very imposing figure. I always thought there was a psychotic Beatles in there, you know. There's a great reverence for earlier rock music with Charles. One of them was UMass. I like UMass. What they've done is change the format for delivering harder rock. I don't think that format really existed before they came along. It's a cliche, but somebody once said that the Velvet Underground didn't sell many albums, but everybody who bought a Velvet Underground album formed a band. And I would have to suggest that the same thing really applied to the Pixies. Once you heard them, you wanted to have a band just like that.
Yeah, I agree. You have it there. There you have it. I mean, what can you say? David Bowie, the king himself, discussing how important the Pixies were and are. And I agree. I mean, if you like the Pixies, you were a music lover. That's it. 1989 is my favorite year for the Pixies because they released my all-time favorite Pixies album. Actually, it could possibly be one of my favorite albums of all time, the album Doolittle. It gets regular rotation on my turntable at home, and I don't suspect that it will ever stop, and if it ever wears out, I'll have to get another one. Just before the recording of the album, the Pixies signed a distribution deal with Elektra, and they befriended well-known producer Gil Norton, who produced Doolittle. Doolittle had like a bit more of a cleaner sound than the previous albums, and that could be very well due to the fact that they suddenly had this massive budget that they were working with, as compared to the first album that cost $1,000. This was like, I don't know, 40, 50, 60. I have actually no idea. I think I read it somewhere, it was maybe 40 or $50,000. The album produced hits like This Monkey's Gone to Heaven, Here Comes Your Man, and great songs like Hey, which was the song that we heard at the top of the radio show today. So let's hear a couple tracks from Doolittle. One of my songs that I really like a lot from that, one of my songs, not mine, I didn't write it. One of the songs I really like a lot from Doolittle is Number 13, Baby, and Here Comes Your Man. So they seem like two great picks. A lot of great musicians were thoroughly inspired by the Pixies. So in this next set coming up, I'll spin you a live version of Beck doing a track from Doolittle as well called Wave of Mutilation. And that is here on Riding with the Queen.
Face time. giving my goodbye. Driving my car into the ocean. You thought I'd die, but I sailed away on a wave of jubilation.
Doing Wave of Mutilation. Well, I don't know if you heard the Pixies version. The Pixies version is a lot better, but what can you do? I think it's cool that Beck covered it. Obviously, a live take there. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Skazix out in Lactobani. Thanks for listening today. So moving on in the show, we have a situation here where the band started having little scuffles. Almost inevitably in all bands, at one point or another, problems arise and disagreements occur, some more heated than others. It was shortly after releasing and touring that album, Doolittle, that Francis and Deal's tensions kind of came to a head. Apparently, Francis like threw guitars at Deal, and Deal had shows where she literally refused to go on stage and play. So I guess those are pretty profound. Deal also struggled with her songs not being included in the process towards Pixies albums, and I know how frustrating that can be when you have this like desire to chip in and no one's really listening. That's kind of frustrating. So it seemed they were all getting a little along less and less, until pretty much they just stopped talking, and the band became increasingly tired during the post Doolittle tour. I can't really say the name of that tour on air, but it has an F word in it. Let's just roll with that. So the fighting continued, and after the tour's final date in New York City, the band was too exhausted to even attend the end of tour party. And then it was sort of inevitable at that point. Everybody sort of knew that they would be calling a hiatus. And so it was 1989 and 1990, and the Pixies took a break. Santiago and Lovering just took vacations. Frances did solo tours, and Kim Deal was spending more time on her side projects. And she actually released a Breeders album called Pod in 1990. By the end of 1990, though, the Pixies wanted to record in Los Angeles, and they picked up and kind of moved there. Kim Deal was the only one who didn't move there, but she did participate on the album that they recorded, which was called Bossa Nova. It features the singles of Luria and Dig of Fire, and it landed them number 3 in the UK and even 70 in the US. And as I mentioned, even though they were always just doing a little bit better in the UK and Europe, they still obviously are well known here in North America and were doing fine. They also released Trompe Le Monde in 1991, and this was their released album, their last one, before they actually broke up in 93, following this like awkward tour opening for U2. And I can, you know, I'm not a U2 fan, so I can only imagine that the Pixies probably thought that wasn't the coolest either. And as I mentioned earlier, Pixies were great mentors to many bands, and Weezer actually was a big fan of the Pixies. They covered the hit Valuria later on in 1999. So even though that was later on, I think it's a really cool cover, and we should spin it now since it was off the Bossa Nova album. And we'll also hear my favorite track off that record called Down to the Well here on Riding with the Queen. We'll be right back. That was Weezer doing Pixies. Pretty cool stuff. So there we were in early 1993, and Black Francis announced that the Pixies were no more. And actually, when he announced it, he forgot to tell the other guys in the band that they were over, so they had to hear it through the grapevine. That was pretty strange. Maybe he should have had a band meeting or something to let them know first. Black Francis then began his solo project as Frank Black, which I'm sure you've all heard of. He released several albums, as well as a string of releases under Frank Black and the Catholics. And Kim Deal spent time working on her band, The Breeders, writing the success of this hit song, Cannonball, which I'm sure you know, we're going to listen to in a bit. And Santiago played on Frank Black's albums, as well as starting a band with his wife, Linda, called The Martinis. Levering actually ended up becoming a full-time magician during his time when he was, you know, I have no idea how you become suddenly a magician after being a drummer for so long, but perhaps that was something he always loved along the way. A full-time magician. I don't even know that that was a possibility. He was also along the way playing drums for the band Cracker. And though the label still released best of albums on behalf of the Pixies, it wasn't until 2003, quite a bit later, that any reunion even seemed possible at all. But let's take a moment here to spin a Frank Black and the Catholics tune here called I Gotta Move off their debut album, as well as the Breeders tune that I was just talking about that put them on the map called Cannonball. So here we go, here on 101.5 UMFM.
I gotta move. I had a taste. I gotta move. I gotta get me off of this. Like Peter Radiator, I heard that he got bashed. Yeah, he got sainted. You know it wasn't for the cash. Yeah, yeah, I gotta move.
I gotta move.
I had a taste.
Had a taste.
I gotta move.
Gotta move.
I gotta get me off of this. He told me in heaven that everything is fine. Well, that would make a good movie, huh? Well, that would make a good movie, huh? I gotta move.
I gotta move.
I gotta break.
I gotta break.
I gotta move.
I gotta move.
I gotta get my cross on me. And then he stopped to sing before he went down. This is the worst place in the sun. I gotta move.
Gotta move.
I had a taste.
Had a taste.
I gotta move.
Gotta move.
I gotta get me off of this. Yeah, there was a chap who crossed it. He came from my hometown. He was a prophet. Some kids they put him in the ground. Yeah, got coffee, got donuts, got wasted, erased him. And what did they say? He's not afraid of the present tense. And talking back is a bad offense. I gotta move.
I gotta move.
I gotta break.
I gotta break.
I gotta move.
I gotta move.
I gotta get my cross from me. Yeah, yeah, I gotta move.
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 I gotta move. Stopped to sing before he went down. This is the worst place in the sun.
I gotta move.
flat.
Hey guys, so it looks like I'm running out of time here. I am finished my show, but I have so much more I wanted to tell you. Let's just sum it up in the Coles Notes version here. Basically, after 11 years, they ended up of a hiatus. They did a reunion tour. Kim Deal left. They were still doing some reunion success. They hired Kim Shattuck from the Muffs and Pandoras, but started recording. Eventually, Paz Lynn Shanton from Inner Circle and Entrance Band became the new bass player. They recorded Indie City, they recorded Head Carrier, and they still tour to this day. So although they pretty much produced a few, relatively few albums whose sales were relatively modest, their influence on the rock boom of the 90s cannot be denied. So that was the Pixies. Sorry to have to end it short, but I'm over my time. I don't even have time for my final song of the day. Sometimes I get chatty, go off paper, and kind of lose track of time. I will definitely see you guys next week, or at least... I hope you hear me next week. I appreciate you listening in today. Until next week, you've been riding with the Queen.